الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها الإخوة السلام عليكم ورحمة الله أوصيكم ولنفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل والسمع والطاعة قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. Praise be to Allah. We praise Him, Lord of the worlds. We praise Him. We send peace and blessings on His final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I counsel you as I counsel myself. To have taqwa, be in awe and always conscious of our Creator, Allah, glory be to Him, and to listen and to hear and to obey the Almighty, glory be to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, as I mentioned in my last khutbah, O you who believe, enter into Islam completely, enter into submission completely, and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. For surely he is a clear and open enemy to you. And we mentioned last time about what is this entering into Islam, some aspects of it last time, what the essence of Islam was, how in fact Islam, although its very foundations clearly are ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no doubt. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created jinn and human beings except to serve, to worship, and to obey me. That's all the meanings and more of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, except to worship, serve me. Glory be to Him. So it's the very foundation of existence is not associating partners with Allah. Yeah, when we owe everything to Him and everything is in His control, glory be to Him. Hence shirk and associating partners, whether from humans or from ourselves and from others, man-made things, is the greatest of crimes and wrongdoings and greatest of ingratitude to the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that's the very foundation of it. But the ibadah in it, what's contained in it, is not just going up and down in sajda and ruku like a bird pecking, but that which has real spirit and meaning and purpose in it, with understanding, with a feeling that Allah, glory be to Him, truly is our Creator and Master, and we are turning back to Him. We're always on our journey back to Him, and He's always constantly watching. So what does He want from us besides from that? Because that is only a medicinal. It is the very foundation, the ibadah, the salah, the hajj, the umrah, the zakah, the sawm, the fasting as we've had in the month of Ramadan. All these things are there really as the very foundation to develop the real character, which is the essence of Islam. As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam therefore said, as we mentioned last time, innama bu'ithu li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq. I have only been sent to perfect, to make good, to make best the morals, makarim al-akhlaq, make best the morals, the behavior, the best characteristics in human beings, of akhlaq, of character. So that's its very essence. Yeah. So it's about action and behavior in the end. When we walk away from the prayer mat, when we complete our ibadat. And the real understanding of Islam is to understand that. Hence, that's why we mentioned last time, the Prophet ﷺ mentioning in authentic hadith, as reported in the Sa'i and others, Al-Muslim man salima an-nasu min lisanihi wa yadihi, wal-mu'min man aminahu an-nasu ala dima'ihim, ala amwalihim wa dima'ihim. The Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, a Muslim is the one from whom other human beings, they feel safe from them. Yeah, they feel safety in their presence, in their environment. And a mu'min, one of faith, is one who people entrust with their wealth and their own lives. That's the characteristic of a mu'min. That other people of any background, any faith and no faith, that they entrust them with their property, that we won't squander, we won't abuse, and we won't abuse them, and they feel safe in themselves as well, in their lives. And this is a very profound hadith. Much can be said about it. But beyond that, again, we'll come back to part of it in a moment. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in hadith, mentioned Bukhari Muslim, for example, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says, Al-Iman bid'un wa sittuna aw bid'un wa sab'una shu'ba a'laha aw afdaluha qawl la ilaha illallah wa adnaha imatatul adha imatatul adha anit tariq wal haya'u shu'batun min al-Iman. In this hadith, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, is Iman has more than 60, more than 70 branches, the highest of which, or the most virtuous of which, is the statement, the conviction of there is no God but Allah. There is no God worthy of worship and servitude except Allah. And the least of which is removing something harmful from the path, from the road, and which gives you the idea of an environment and taking care of the environment. And so much can be said. It's so comprehensive, those few words, removing harm from the way, the path. It's not just about removing a banana skin from the road. It is profound, that statement, and covers all kinds of environmental harms which can affect the trees, the environment itself, the animals, and human beings in the end as well. And then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, part of it, said, Al-Haya, that modesty, shyness, it is a branch of Iman, of being faithful. And how much is that forgotten? In fact, modesty and shyness nowadays in the societies that we live in the materialistic, selfish, self-centered, obsessed with the self society, shyness is seen as a weakness. Shyness and modesty is seen as a negative. And how far from the truth that is. Actually, the reality is, from these wonderful teachings of Islam, shyness and modesty, both in men and women, is a beautiful quality, is a part of the identity of believers. And it's not about being loud-mouthed in the face and being able to be abusive and shouting and coming out with swear words. And being the face of people, of showing off, of desperately seeking people's opinions on social media, of all this superficialness that's around. So we have to remind ourselves about some of these qualities. So this hadith is very comprehensive, and I just mentioned briefly one aspect of it from that, but so many aspects to it. Then, of course, when we talk about these kind of hadith and Quran, the verses are replete with the idea of amal salih, after iman, of good deeds. And we read about it, we hear people talking about good deeds, righteous deeds. But what does it really mean? And it needs to be broken down in our own, for each one of us, for ourselves. What am I doing in my 24 hours daily while I've got life, which can be included under the category of amal salih, of good deeds? I have to check myself before I go to bed every night when I wake up in the morning. Yeah. And this is, of course, this is all beyond just doing the fundamental basics of praying five times a day, which is the foundation, yeah, and the fasting of Ramadan, etc., which I've mentioned already. It's not to negate those, but they are. People say, "Oh, that person's so religious. Why? Oh, and he or she prays five times a day. Oh, Subhanallah." That is the very basic of it. Yeah, we don't want to be of those who lose those five prayers. The fard even, and their value on the Day of Judgment, even though it's 10 times multiplied at least by bad deeds and doing people and lying to people and cheating people, having poor and terrible character. Because that will happen. There are people who will be bankrupt on the Day of Judgment very much because of that, as we know from the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And you know, part of that, in one hadith, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, "Man kana," hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, "من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت." Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, meaning a sign of their belief and their conviction of the last day, as well as believing in Allah, in other words, that they will be judged one day, then let they must speak good or they should remain silent. They must speak good or remain silent. So this part of good character, Amal al-Salih, that we often forget about is our tongue. And this is what it's talking about, what we say. And tongue includes what we write, brothers and sisters, in text messages or what we send off nowadays on social media. So people are doing a lot of speaking without actually using the mouth, as it were, but all that is included in what we say to others. So this tongue can actually lead us to destruction, and that's why, and I'll come to other hadith that mention that, but if you look at the hadith I mentioned last time and today as well about defining a Muslim from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, "Al Muslim man salim an nasu min lisanihi wa yadi." Muslim is the one from whom human beings, other human beings, feel safe from his or her tongue and from his or her hands, meaning from their behavior. But tongue is there as well. Yeah, the tongue, what we say. How? Because the tongue is such a dangerous weapon and we are so carefree and careless about it. Therefore, in the other hadith, Prophet ﷺ saying, speak good or remain silent. Speak good or remain silent. And you know, actually, silence is such an opportunity. Silence, which many people don't like. Yeah? People like noise. People like hustle and bustle. Yeah, the TV has to be on in the background. Some music has to be playing all the time. There's always got to be some kind of noise going on. Yes, I understand we're social people. We need other human beings. That's all fine. But we're also meant to be people who reflect. Reflection about the reality of who we are and where we are, where we're heading, requires silence. Yeah, silence is such a gift, actually. And there's no better time to appreciate that than in lockdown in this COVID season that we've been in. Silence is more important than actually talking, and including silence gives you a chance to reflect. Silence is not a negative thing, but a very positive thing for those who are wise, yeah? For those who contemplate, for those who reflect. And so that's one aspect, silence. Crucial, which means not using your tongue, actually. Yeah, not using it. And it means actually not using your ears either here, because it's you're not hearing any, but it's actually talking, using your very soul and consciousness, the heart and mind, connecting with the reality, yeah, reflecting on the realities of our existence. It's so important. And what great opportunity, this unique opportunity we have to have that kind of sometime in the day or in the evening or night or in the morning, after Salah, before going to bed, we need time on our own. Just to look at the sky. Even if you have the opportunity to go in the garden to look up at the sky, just think to yourself, reflect to yourself in that silenceness. It's so important. Then beyond that is actually of safeguarding the tongue is more important to listen than to talk. Those who talk a lot are likely to make more mistakes and more sin, and less, therefore more likely to go to hellfire. And listening is learning. Listening to others is more important than you and me talking. So much we can learn from listening to other people. Yeah. Of course, listening to other people who have something good to say. If people are saying foul things, whether it's in social media or whether they're people who have a foul tongue anyway, then that's the kind of company that as believers we feel uncomfortable with. So when I'm talking about listening, and that listening applies, brothers and sisters, whether we're in school, whether we're university, whether we're at work, whether we're at home, where it starts, listening as husband and wife to one another, listening to the other. And that is the premises, the prerequisite, having any kind of empathy of how the other person's feeling. Yeah. Rather than just shouting and talking over, listening to what the other person is saying and therefore what they are feeling. Husband and wife in the relationship is crucial in all human being relationships. Yeah, parents and children, between brothers and sisters, and it goes on. So the tongue, the Prophet you know, that's why he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hadith which is reported in Bukhari and Muslim again, man yadman li ma bayna lihyayhi wa ma bayna rijlayhi adman lahul jannah. Whoever guarantees for me, yeah, safeguarding of what is between the jaw, meaning the tongue, safeguards for me, whoever guarantees by safeguarding their tongue and safeguarding their private parts, I will guarantee for them Jannah, for paradise. Yeah, and I often have said over the years, we're very clear about the private parts and about relationship outside, unlawful sexual relationships outside of marriage as being haram. We're clear about that. It's against Islam. But what we forget about, and the Prophet has put it in the same phrase, in the same sentence, of how serious the tongue is as well, and the control of that. The control of that, which perhaps will be a disaster and destruction for so many people because they neglected this, and we cannot neglect it. So taqwa and fasting is about control, and therefore that must be translated from spiritual control to physical control of the tongue as well, and trying our hardest to do that. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in a long hadith, which is reported by Tirmidhi from Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and Tirmidhi says hadith Hasan al-Sahih, is authentic hadith, and I haven't got time to go into all, but after Mu'adh ibn Jabal briefly asks about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he can get into paradise and be saved and kept far away from the fire. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you've asked something, a major matter, this is the matter. So after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions about basically the five pillars of salah, fasting, hajj, zakah, yeah, and worshipping Allah without doing shirk with him. After mentioning those, the Prophet ﷺ mentions about, again, about voluntary fasting, about sadaqah, about giving in charity, yeah. Then the Prophet ﷺ goes on further about a prayer in the night, salah in the night, the hajjud prayer, or salatul layl. And then, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, ألا أخبرك برأس الأمر وعموده وذروة سنامي قال يعني معاذ بن جبل بلى يا رسول الله قال صلى الله عليه وسلم رأس الأمر الإسلام وعموده الصلاة وذروة سنامي الجهاد. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, shall I not tell you the main matter, the head of the matter, its pillar and its pinnacle, topmost part? Mu'adh said, yes, of course, O Messenger of Allah. He said, the head, yeah, of the matter is Islam, meaning living by Islam and submission to Allah. Its pillar is salah. Yeah, the very thing that holds it up is your salah. There's no success without your five daily salah, brothers and sisters. And its pinnacle, right at its utmost, topmost part, is jihad. It is the struggle and striving to do all that which is good from ibadat and beyond. Hence, that is the pinnacle of it all. Without any struggle, nothing's going to happen, and neither are we going to achieve anything. Neither in this world, brothers and sisters, and certainly not in the hereafter. So struggle means we are active, active, busy with trying to do these good works. And you know what he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after that? ألا أخبرك shall I not tell you بملاكي ذلك كله, what is the controlling of all that which I've mentioned. قلت بلى يا رسول الله. So one would say, of course, O Messenger of Allah, tell me. فأخذ بلساني, so the Messenger of Allah took a hold of his tongue. فقال كف عليك هذا, and he said, control this, control this. So this is the seriousness of the tongue, and I remind myself and remind you, brothers and sisters, not in theory but in practice. Let's put into practice, yeah, from our salah, from our reminders, from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, put into practice that before we speak, that we think, that we reflect, that we know that Allah is watching and things are being recorded. Things are being recorded. That we strive to control what we say, how we say it, and remember as to who we're speaking to, and remember the etiquette, and remember the good character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and remember what it is to be Muslim. Yeah, that we don't hurt other people, that we're not insulting to other people, that we don't swear at other people, that we control our anger. Yeah, and the anger may be there inside, but we control what the tongue says as a consequence of it. So this is how we have to put it into practice. And the practice begins at home, brothers and sisters. Yeah, outside we move outwards, but it begins at home. It begins with our families, our nearest and dearest ones. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and save us and protect us from the evils of the tongue. And there are many talks we can give on that, and now's not the time for that. But this is a general reminder about our about part of what good deeds are, of being a believer, a faithful person and a Muslim. And one of those good deeds, crucial good deed, as we'll mention some of the others in future khutbahs, one of the crucial good deeds is how we control our tongues. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.